political leaders who played an important role in the 2011 presidency are still active. Hungary is now in the presidency of the EU Union in a time of extraordinary circumstances and challenges our continent is facing. Common obstacles because of the war in its borders. The EU is becoming more and more lagging behind its global competitors in a very fragile security situation, illegal migration, vulnerability regarding the international supply networks. The natural disasters, the effects of climate change, and the impact of demographic change. So since 2024, the extraordinary year, the Hungarian presidency will have to guarantee the continuity of the work in the Council, the cooperation of the recently elected European Parliament, European Commission, and to start the implementation of Strategic Agenda 2024-2029 by establishing the short-term guidelines for the future work of the Union. First and foremost, I would like to say that Hungary in presidency will work as a honest intermediary in the spirit of honest cooperation between the member states and the institutions towards peace, security, and prosperity in Europe. The Hungarian presidency counts on the support of Portugal in this task. The preparation for the presidency are undergoing for the last 2 years. Let me mention some fundamental aspects. We hope that we have had a heavy legislative work, and despite beyond the institutional transition, we're going to get 122 files from the Belgian presidency, and we have 55 files for the trilogue. We plan 1,637 informal meetings of the Council and 4 meetings of the Eurogroup. Once we have, after the EU meetings, we will still have 16 formal meetings of the working groups. The Hungarian presidency will work in Brussels. However, we will organize approximately 230 events in Hungary, mostly in Budapest, such as 3 informal summits, namely the informal meeting of the European Council in Budapest, the summit for the European political communities, and the summit EU-Western Balkans, as well as 16 informal meetings of the Council. The Ministry of European Affairs, which was created in August 2023, the tasks of the presidency. Hungary, with great focus to include the positions of most of the majority of the stakeholders, we consulted 280 partners, including member states, regions. Before concluding our program for the presidency, we strengthen the presidency team balanced and prepared and future oriented. Allow me to first to adopt recent years, just high inflation. Of international supply chains the low European productivity and the slowing of economic growth compared with our competitors. To place the economy of the EU in a growing trend. So the Hungarian is going to put a great focus of European competitiveness by applying a approach. Our goal is to contribute towards the development of an industrial strategy which should be technological neutral, and to promote European productivity, an open economy, international cooperation, as well as a flexible labor market, creating safe jobs, and provides better jobs in Europe, a crucial factor for the growth in competitiveness. Secondly, the strengthening of the European defense policy. The emerging conflicts on the continent around the world clearly demonstrate that Europe needs to significantly improve its defense capabilities, national crisis management responsiveness and capacities, beyond defense policy alliances and cooperation. The European Union should play a greater role in guaranteeing its own security by strengthening its resilience and capacity to act. Bearing this in mind, the Hungarian presidency will place a particular emphasis on strengthening the European defense technological and industrial base, including defense innovation and the enhancement of defense procurement cooperation between member states beyond the implementation of the strategic compass. Thirdly, a consistent and merit-based enlargement policy. The enlargement is one of the most successful points of the European Union. To preserve this favorable tendency, it is essential to keep the enlargement policy merit-based, balanced, and credible. The European Union has long been engaged in ensuring a European perspective for the Western Balkans, as the community cannot be complete without the accession of this region. The region's integration benefits the EU in economic, security, and geopolitical terms. To further broaden and deepen our cooperation, we will invite our partners to consultations both in the framework of the EU Western Balkans Summit and political.
The priority is stemming illegal migration. The migratory pressure that Europe has been facing for several years is not only a challenge to the Union as a whole, but also places a huge burden on individual member states, especially those at the external borders of the Union. It has been a long-term objective of the EU to tackle this, which requires effective, even short-term instruments. In order to find the appropriate solutions, closer cooperation with countries bordering the EU is indispensable, as well as with the key countries of origin and transit. In addition, illegal immigration and human smuggling must be curbed. In this respect, the Hungarian presidency will pay particular attention to the external dimension of migration, including efficient cooperation with relevant third countries, more effective returns, and innovative solutions for rules of asylum. In addition, during the follow-up on the implementation of the annual priorities of the Schengen cycle, we intend to highlight the importance of border protection and the need for EU funds for this purpose. If shaping the future of cohesion policy to ensure development in the Union. It is essential for Europe to reduce regional disparities as well as to secure economic, social and territorial cohesion. A well-structured and balanced cohesion policy is the key instrument in this regard. Cohesion policy, as the main investment policy of the European Union, has proven successful for decades in achieving the objectives enshrined in the treaties. However, as the 9th cohesion report points out, there are still significant development gaps between member states and even within regions, considering that more than a quarter of the EU's population lives in regions not reaching 75% of the Union's average development level. The convergence of these regions is not only crucial in terms of fully utilizing the competitiveness potential of the EU, but it is essential for the functioning of the single market. The Hungarian presidency will aim for a high-level strategic debate on the future of cohesion policy, including its role in promoting competitiveness and employment, as well as in addressing demographic challenges. Six is a farmer-centered EU agricultural policy. The European agriculture may never have faced as many climate challenges as it does today. Extraordinary weather conditions caused by climate change, growing input costs, increasing imports from third countries, and overly stringent production rules have significantly decreased the competitiveness of the sector. We have to see agriculture not as a cause of climate change, but as part of the solution by engaging farmers in adopting more sustainable production practices. While guaranteeing food security, European farmers provide all EU citizens with basic public goods. The Hungarian presidency will encourage the Agriculture and Fisheries Council to take advantage of the institutional transition period and guide the new Commission in formulating the rules of the Union's post-2027 agricultural policy for a competitive, crisis-proof and farmer-friendly agriculture. Seventh, addressing demographic challenges. The accelerating aging of European societies, unsustainable social welfare systems, and labour shortages are long-standing and intensifying problems in all of Europe that need to be addressed urgently and effectively. Aging society, green and digital transition, rural depopulation, increasing pressure on fiscal resources, and the changing world of work generate such demographic issues and challenges which need to be put into the spotlight. These problems have become increasingly important for the competitiveness of the EU and the sustainability of public finances. The Hungarian presidency, fully respecting the competitiveness of member states, wishes to draw attention to these challenges. And the Commission's demographic toolbox, published in October 2023, provides a good basis for that. So allow me to repeat that the Hungarian presidency will work as an honest intermediary in the spirit of sincere cooperation between member states and institutions in order to achieve the objectives of this presidency. The presidency relies on the support of Portugal. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much, Ambassador. You were really concise. So you spoke within the 10 minutes you had for you. I believe that you don't realize that you can speak in Portuguese. There is a simultaneous interpretation in the room. So we'll have 5 minutes for each intervention of the MPs, and the requests for the to take the floor are, first of all, MP Mendes Godinho, then Mr. Paulo Muniz, and then Mr. Pinto Pereira. On a second round, we have a request for the floor of Ileana Reis from PST. So I'm passing the floor to Ana Mendes Godinho. You have the floor. Thank you very much, Chair. Dear Ambassador, I'd like to greet you and thank the presentation you made on the priorities of Hungarian presidency. I naturally wish that this presidency will attain the best possible results for Europe that we all wish for and that we all want. I also greet the delegation of the Albanian Parliament. Welcome. And we are fully available to share with Albania what has been the experience of Portugal since we joined the EU and how Europe has transformed Portugal ever since the accession to this big European family. I'd like to greet and congratulate the Ambassador for your Portuguese and the House of the Portuguese Democracy. We will now use Portuguese as our language. And so I congratulate you for having made your presentation in Portugal. Hungary is now in the presidency of the Council within the scope of a troika, which I'd like to greet, a troika with a great ability to implement the challenges in such demanding times that Europe has been going through. It's been evident more and more the importance of the role of Europe and the united Europe, namely in the difficult times we have been faced together. I recall the pandemic, which has been a critical time, a decisive time, where the Europe had a decisive ability to show how important mobilization was, namely the common tools to respond collectively to the community of people living in Europe, the times of great challenges that show the ability to create a tool such as the RRF, the Resilience and Recovery Plan, allowed, namely, to respond to the challenges of a pandemic that nobody was prepared to tackle. But it has been possible to protect millions of jobs in Europe as a result of a great ability to work jointly on the side of all European governments. And I'd also like to reiterate the importance of these tools have been all a creator based upon the social, the European pillar of social rights in Europe, the social components of Europe. And this is also the biggest challenge we have in terms of the permanent construction of this European citizenship, of the social values which have been at the basis of war, our different actions. Last June in 2024, there were some decisions made at European level, which are very important to sign for our near future, such as a new assistance package to Russia, the green light to the next round of enlargement to Ukraine and Moldova, the approval of a strategic agenda for the future and for the near future, but also decision on the leaders, on the European institutions into their new mandates, which is the decisive context in relation to the leadership we will have in front of these institutions. These are very demanding circumstances which you identify, the Ambassador, the clear priorities of the Hungarian presidency, such as the new European competitiveness deal, the strengthening of the defense European policy and the enlargement policy. So Albania is present, so they are particularly interested in the enlargement policy, but also focus on the agriculture and demography and cohesion policy. Having said this, my first question to you is, there is some concern, and I would like the ambassador to provide us with more information. Some concern about the presence of the European Pillar of Social Rights during the Hungarian presidency, specifically on the execution of the targets in the action plan of the European Pillar of Social Rights approved in the Porto Summit. So in relation to the European Child Guarantee, measures to combat poverty, and measures focusing on integration and inclusion. You also mentioned, Ambassador, the plan for aging. The plan for aging was approved during the presidency troika with a great involvement of these member states, part of this presidency troika. But I'd like you to tell us about the implementation of the targets of the European Pillar for Social Rights. And this is critical because they have to do with poverty reduction, be it in a transversal way or the combating poverty in relation to some groups of the population, such as children. And I believe that this has to be a common goal for all of us. The second question to you, Ambassador, regards migration. You've mentioned the reinforcement of the protection of external borders and the European financing. I'd like to know exactly what that means, because we all know how migrants are decisive for the growth and European competitiveness. So how can we even simplify the migration procedures so that we guarantee the real integration of migrants who have been critical for the financing of the social security systems? The third question regarding the cohesion policy that you also mentioned, Ambassador. Think about the permanent support tool, in similar to what we had with the RRF in pandemic, and wishing the best possible successes for Europe based on human rights, which make Europe so different from the rest of the world. Ambassador, 5 minutes. Muito obrigada. Em primeiro lugar, eu gostaria de manifestar também o grande privilégio para mim estar convosco para fazer a apresentação das prioridades da presidência, e eu irei fazer o melhor para vos dar respostas tão claras quanto possíveis. Muito obrigada pelas suas perguntas. Penso que são perguntas muito atuais e temos que pensar sobre elas, e temos que pensar sobre estas questões, não simplesmente na presidência húngara, mas continuar também para o próximo trio, porque nós vivemos, de facto, um mundo com muito desafio, e os desafios são mais são maiores do que nunca. Relativamente aos direitos sociais, tornou-se visível após a pandemia da Covid e, inclusivamente, durante a pandemia, quando milhares de pessoas perderam os seus empregos, tivemos que lidar com esta questão. Eu penso que é um bom começo estarmos na nossa presidência a trabalhar sobre as questões do emprego e sobre a mobilização do mercado de trabalho internacional. porque nós temos um grande potencial que ainda não foi aproveitado na União Europeia. Pensamos igualmente que a política social, que a presidência húngara vai dar a prioridade, a integração social, e também fortalecer um serviço de qualidade, reduzindo as desigualdades, de modo a promover a inclusão social. E espero que a presidência húngara continue a lutar com estas questões durante o seu mandato. Gostaríamos de centrar igualmente sobre a igualdade de oportunidades e a igualdade de género. Penso que é da maior importância promover estas questões, visto que temos que acautelar a igualdade das pessoas. Nós portanto estamos a e nós planeamos adotar as decisões do Conselho relativamente a estas matérias. Igualmente, relativamente aos cuidados de saúde, eu creio que o pacote farmacêutico europeu tem uma importância específica e a presidência húngara tenciona prosseguir com o processo de negociações relativamente a este pacote tão ambicioso, de modo a alcançar o maior progresso possível. O nosso objetivo é manter esta regulamentação farmacêutica de uma maneira consistente e harmonizada. A nossa prioridade de saúde, na área da saúde, é agir contra as doenças cardiovasculares e estamos a planear algumas conclusões do Conselho sobre este tópico. Gostaríamos realmente de nos centrarmos nas doenças raras e também as questões práticas relativamente à doação de órgãos. Penso que é muito importante considerar estes tópicos, visto que alarga a segurança social da nossa comunidade. Relativamente à questão das migrações, gostaria de enfatizar que, de modo a podermos ter uma Europa forte, nós precisamos de fronteiras europeias fortes e aumentar este sistema de resiliência na Europa. A presidência húngara irá basear-se na experiência atual dos últimos 5 anos para lançar um processo de refletir que se vai salientar os desafios específicos que se encontram nos diferentes tipos de fronteiras e as respostas a ter, inclusivamente o papel da Frontex, assim como as boas práticas e as soluções inovadoras existentes nos Estados-membros. Para nós, as prioridades-chave para fortalecer a resiliência do espaço Schengen. No quadro Schengen, a presidência húngara irá ser responsável pela monitorização e implementação de áreas prioritárias, de modo a manter uma governação robusta na área, no espaço Schengen. A presidência húngara irá também ter como objetivo facilitar a finalização do alargamento do espaço Schengen. Gostaríamos de retirar os controles internos da Bulgária e da Roménia. Como nós sabemos, a migração é um resultado de uma série de crises, o número crescente de conflitos armados, de crises económicas, e tudo isto faz com que dê origem a uma enorme pressão migratória sobre a Europa. A presidência húngara irá encorajar os Estados-membros numa troca de ideias sobre soluções inovadoras na área do asilo. E também é preciso uma melhor ação para garantir uma implementação eficaz de retorno. Relativamente à implementação harmonizada da política de vistos, tem importância estratégica para garantir que o espaço Schengen funcione. A prioridade, o objetivo é prioritária para a presidência húngara terminar tão brevemente como possível as negociações legislativas para a revisão dos mecanismos de suspensão de visto Iramos enfatizar a revisão abrangente do regime de vistos europeu. Relativamente à política de coesão, penso que seria que é uma das políticas mais bem-sucedidas da União Europeia e, como eu disse na minha apresentação, uma grande percentagem, 35% ainda vivem, dos europeus ainda vivem em condições pouco desenvolvidas em termos económicos. Eu penso que temos que continuar a promover a política de coesão e também trabalhar em prol de uma abordagem mais abrangente neste tópico. Muito obrigada.
The floor to Paul Mellish from PSD. Thank you very much, Chair and ladies and gentlemen. I would like to begin by greeting the Ambassador, Emilia Fabian, and I'd like to congratulate you from the way you presented your report on in excellent Portuguese. And your program and your draft program for the presidency of the European Council. In relation to the priorities of the presidency that you were kind enough to present, obviously they list a number of concerns of matters that are very topical in Europe and with which the PSD agrees and defends, and we have worked together to solve them. Obviously, we still have to mention a very key aspect of our state as in the European Union, of our values, of the threat that against it today, that is the war between, and that is the war between Russia and the Ukraine. That is the defense, intransigent defense against Russia. I would like to begin with a curiosity, which is still important, the fact that the first visit after the two years from Mr. Viktor Orban to Ukraine happened yesterday. Now, this visit to Ukraine has got to do with the fact that they have now got the presidency of the European Union, or is it just a coincidence? I mean, there are coincidences in international relations, and I would like you to explain this to us. And also, within the framework of this war, we have been observing an opinion from the High Representative of the External Relations of the European Union, from the European Union, and from the leaders that individually have shown this. We've seen that there is an urgent need to maintain the strength and the support to Ukraine in terms of war. This support, which is financial support, that says support in terms of essential bellic material, and this moment, that is before the summer, before August, it's important to reinforce Ukraine so Ukraine continues to contain the invasion of Russia. And then in October and November, we will have a very we have much weaker Ukraine in terms of electric infrastructures, and so there's an absolute need for us to look at electric infrastructures and give them all the support that is needed. And now for us, it's not clear what is the actual commitment of Hungary with this reinforcement to support reinforcement of the support to Ukraine. And we would like to know whether, in fact, you can guarantee that now that Hungary has got the presidency, now with the positions that Hungary has had in the past with in terms of explicit aid to Ukraine, I'm not going to disturb the exercise of the presidency, and that says is it going to stop the need to support the Ukraine? This is something we're rather worried about, because it's based on the history and based on behaviour we've seen up to a short time ago, and that is the retention of 6 billion euros from the European support mechanism, which is pending because of Hungary's position. So we would like to know whether this can be transposed in to this presidency, this view that is not has been the most has not been shown much solidarity up to now. Another aspect that I would like to talk about is the enlargement. We know that enlargement in the meeting of the 25th of June was decided, and it continues the enlargement process with Ukraine and Moldova. And we would like to know that it would act. The Minister of European Affairs, the Hungarian Minister of Affairs, said that this presidency represents a very an alternative vision of Europe that Hungary has. And so another part that I would like to know is that where this position, the positions of Hungary, are going to delay or disturb the ongoing process of enlargement to Ukraine and Moldova. And to conclude, I would like to hear how you can specify the support to the PMEs, and which is a pillar of your presidency, and is very important for Portugal as well, because our entrepreneurial fabric is made up of PMEs and or SMEs, and so we can have this in Europe. And so please answer in 5 minutes. You get 3 questions. Thank you very much.
Obrigada. É uma grande honra receber perguntas tão importantes. Nós sempre acreditamos que podemos no qual nós vivemos em democracia, nós conseguimos sempre encontrar um ponto de debater as questões até consenso. Razão, o seu primeiro-ministro húngaro, o senhor Orbán, visitou ontem no segundo. Eu penso que isto mostra claramente o compromisso da nossa presidência no sentido em que o alargamento é verdadeiramente importante para nós e vamos conhecer os desafios de segurança que a Europa atualmente está a enfrentar. Esta guerra não afeta simplesmente a Hungria, mas toda a diálogo construtivo e também sobre questões bilaterais, o que é verdadeiramente porque estão a tentar pôr de lado as futuro gostariam de estabelecer muito melhores relações entre os nossos países, um acordo de cooperação abrangente com viver na Ucrânia, inclusive ontem recebemos mais de 10 mil que entraram na Hungria. Um, no sentido que os ucranianos, presença dos ucranianos é o que os estudantes ucranianos podem estudar na Hungria, e confirmou ainda que iremos construir escolas para os jovens ucranianos. Se precisarmos uma, tudo bem. Se precisarem de escolas também, a Hungria irá financiar a residência. É muito importante. A paz não é simplesmente importante para a Ucrânia. A paz é importante para toda a Europa. E ter o alargamento e esta política de alargamento remonta há muito tempo e sai para a Europa. E temos que elaborar planos de ação com os países
Please follow up. Please follow up.
The way. As PMEs não simplesmente as grandes empresas multinacionais. Representam 85% da economia húngara. E portanto, é importante, né? Para os húngaros, organizamos algumas workshops no estrangeiro, não simplesmente junto ao mercado europeu, mas também noutros mercados, visto que queremos que a ligação e a cooperação. E a competitividade também para a União Europeia. Muito obrigada.
After the interventions by the Socialist Party and PSD, we have Vichig and Tony Pereira, and then we have Bernardo Blanco from the Iniciativa Liberal. Thank you very much. Chair, Ambassador, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to greet the parliamentary group from Albania. So I would like to thank you very much, Emily Fabian, for having come to this committee. And you have done this, symbolically you've done this 3 days later, 3 days after you have commenced the presidency of the European Council. So I would like to thank you for your excellent Portuguese and congratulate you for your position here in Portugal. I would like to give you another word of thanks because of the ambition of the program of your presidency, which you presented at the beginning of your intervention. And it's easy to understand that you inherit over 100 dossiers that have not been completed by former presidencies, and you want to carry out 150 events, 3,000 events, and you want to carry on with the work carried out started by Spain and Belgium. And so, on the 1st of July 2024, under the motto to make Europe great again, and you did this with great success in 2011 during your presidency. The topic, the motto chosen for this presidency is remarkable. Hungary has proudly criticized the become the central power in the European Union, an administrative bureaucracy which thinks more of in numbers than solving the real people's real problems, and it is becoming further and further away from the objectives and the needs of the European population. That is why it's understandable that your Prime Minister Viktor Orban criticised through his rhetoric, which is called the technocratic elite of Brussels. Hungary at the moment is a very important country in European states. We just remind that the Hungarian veto represents 60% of all the vetoes. And so as you're working program, you can see that you're going to look at 7 priority areas, a new European deal for competitiveness, the defence policy, a coherent merit-based policy, stemming illegal immigration, and shaping the future cohesion policy, a farmer-centred EU agricultural policy after 2027, and to find a policy favourable to the farmers and addressing demographic challenges, the area of justice is going to deserve your attention, especially the pursuance of the negotiations with the proposal for the directive in the fight against sexual abuse of children. And the cooperation in terms of electronic justice, your president wants to explore the use of artificial intelligence, especially to improve access to justice following the adoption of the recent legislation from the Union in this area. Also, in the area of internal administration, Hungary is committed to making strategic guidelines for the security of European citizens and competitiveness in the Union. The focus will be in the following areas, which are very relevant: strong European borders, to reinforcement of the resilience of the Schengen area to crisis, the reinforcement of external borders, and implementation of the reform of the European asylum policy, the architecture of the of interoperability, and a more effective action for returns. And Portugal or Hungary also thought of making a stronger, safer Europe in its fighting organized crime, and the long-term legislation for the prevention and fight against the sexual abuse of children, the optimization of management structures of European crisis with the increase of the support and the reinforcement of resilience and critical structures faced with threats and natural catastrophes like floods, and in addition to environmental crime. So I'm going to talk about a topic which you find very important, and we in our party think so too. It's got to do with the migratory flows and the fight against illegal immigration. We have to think about the conciliation between your objectives and the acts published by the European Union in 2022 and 2023, which are the most recent. So Europe has 400... That's a great number. And so the 3.8 million are nationals from third countries. That means 3.6% of the total population. 38 million corresponds to people who were born outside the Union and today live here, which totalizes 8.5% of the number of population. The migrant population comes from third countries, And so even though in 2022 the unemployment rate of the active policy was higher for European policies, about 77.1% than for nationals from third countries, that is 71.1%. I think the employment has been increasing. And so in the same year, there's people between the ages of 20 and 22, which corresponds to 6.1% of those 93.1 million people in this age group, is Chairman. So I'm going to ask you for one more minute because I'm speaking slower, which is normally. I'm afraid the Chairman is speaking very fast, and so I would like you to conclude. You've been given six now, so the number of interests have increased recently because of crisis of Ukrainian refugees. The 10% of the it was 10% of refugees in the world, in the European Union, and then 2022, because of the war in the Ukraine, the percentage of refugees living in the Union has increased by 20%. And this is to say that Europe cannot continue to have its doors wide open, and we cannot guarantee with the losses of it to give to everybody who comes into to Europe, you know, the social security and jobs, etc. We have to think of its own population, because European countries have great difficulty. I conclude by saying that with the project, your project, the Hungarian project, what's your answer to this very concerning situation? Thank you very much. You have the floor, Ambassador. Thank you.
Com mandatos e implementação do pacto que não dá uma verdadeira solução, mas há um aumento significativo no apoio financeiro da parte dos Estados-membros que é necessário, inclusivamente o apoio para as barreiras físicas nas fronteiras. Fronteiras físicas, até no final de 2022, as Hungarias evitaram 230 mil tentativas de atravessar as fronteiras de imigrantes ilegais. Em 2023, o número de tentativas superou 170 mil. A Hungria pede à União Europeia para reembolsar os custos da proteção das fronteiras húngaras em várias ocasiões. Em 2015, a Hungria evitou 1 milhão de imigrantes ilegais no espaço Schengen, que coloca um peso adicional no orçamento nacional, enquanto que mais 1,5 milhões de euros foi gasto na proteção das fronteiras desde o início da crise migratória até o final de 2023. A contribuição da UE para o custo é pouco mais do que 1%, no entanto, a Comissão ainda não considera uma grande proporção dos custos a ser reembolsados. Muito obrigada.
Thank you very much. I'm going to pass the floor to Mr. Bernard Lang from IL, Liberal Initiative. Thank you very much, Chair. I'd like to greet the Ambassador and her staff, and also to greet the Albanian delegation, to wish you a very good presidency, and just enhance the fact that you should focus on the European competitiveness on the top of the agenda, making this economy great again. And now that we have reused this American slogan, let me just give you some data for us to know that 15 years ago, the European economy was 15% higher than the United States, and now it's 25% smaller. So in 15 years, we completely overpassed. There are many causes that I hope the Hungarian presidency tries to combat. The lack of a single market, but the excessive bureaucracy that the EU has been investing in. Even in the technological world, there is a proverb that America innovates, China copies, and Europe regulates. So this is what has been happening in America. We see the innovations of AI. In Europe, the great innovation is a cap for the bottle. Nothing against, but I hope that there will be more innovations in Europe. So there is the need for the European competitiveness being the main topic of the agenda. We fully agree with that. I'm not going to repeat any questions, so I'd like to ask three questions, slightly different. The first on international relations. I see a reference to China, a very vague reference to China. On one hand, we consider that they are an important partner, but on the other hand, we see that China, we are going to improve the strategic complex and follow the strategic complex, which recognizes China as a systemic rival. I'd like to ask if the Hungarian presidency is of this understanding, supports this idea. And another question, which was now raised by Shiga, which is mentioned in your program,
And it vaguely says that our presence will keep on working towards the development of a legislation, long-term legislative solution to prevent and combat children's sexual abuse and to revise directive against sexual exploitation of children. This has been a very divisive topic at European level because although nobody opposes this directive, but the truth is that you truly have to analyze the different legislative initiatives. And the fact, it's very divisive, this question, because there is a potential disproportionate control of the citizens' communication, such as an automatic screening of all communication, chats, emails, and social media. Although with good intention, there may be a risk in relation to citizens' rights. So this topic has been so widely discussed. So I'd like to know if you can give us something, some information, specific information. What does the Hungarian president wishes to do? It's a very difficult consensus to attain in view of the conflicting rights. The last question on migration. In the document, the Hungarian presidency tried to encourage member states to find innovative solutions in relation to ILA. I'd like to ask you, what are these innovative solutions you would like to discuss in your presidency? Hungary, as you know, was not in favor of the Migration and Asylum Pact. From what I saw in a recent interview, the Hungarian Prime Minister said one of the solutions could be adopted in relation to the asylum system is the consulate and embassies will now process these requests, but it's not very different from the previous proposals of humanitarian visas submitted in the European Parliament. So it's a difficult topic, and I'd like to know what are these innovative solutions you talk about, because it's a very difficult topic just to mention innovative solutions in the program, and we're not going into details. Thank you. Thank you. Ambassador, you have the floor. Obrigada. Relativamente à China, na presidência pensamos que uma abordagem pragmática e equilibrada em relação à China é um objetivo-chave da presidência húngara. Nós todos sabemos que a China é um parceiro económico e comercial importante. As relações UE-China, a nosso ver, devem basear-se num diálogo construtivo sobre a economia e a questão securitária é particularmente importante para nós. Relativamente à parceria, sempre afirmamos que temos que manter o debate, porque a China é um parceiro muito importante, não simplesmente para a União Europeia, mas penso igualmente que para cada país europeu. Temos de prosseguir com este diálogo. A nossa presidência acredita ou quer criar uma parceria usando todas as redes, todos os canais políticos e económicos. Isto seria benéfico para toda a União Europeia. A União Europeia tem uma estratégia para a região Índico e Pacífico. Organizamos uma série de cimeiras, cimeira Indo-Pacífico, e refere aí que são inclusivas, mas tanto quanto sem a China, nunca participam neste grupo. Portanto, temos que manter o diálogo, visto que é importante. Para além da China, a Coreia do Sul e o Japão são muito importantes para a União Europeia e temos que trabalhar nas parcerias estratégicas e prosseguir este diálogo com estes países. Relativamente
Eu gostaria, eu não percebi. So, please, could you repeat the question? Because the ambassador did not clearly understand the second question. So there were three questions. The first was on China. The second was on communications versus the protection of children's rights. And the third was on migration. So you're talking about the second one, right? The one you didn't understand. So the second question, I'm going to read very slowly what is in your program. Our presidency will continue to work towards the development of a legislative, long-term legislative solution to combat children's sexual abuse and to revise the directive against sexual exploitation of children. My question here, this is a legislative process which is already ongoing, of course, with very noble intentions, but what is being proposed in practice is what was called as check control, chat control. This is the name of this initiative. On one hand, we have to protect children access online, but it's disproportionate that in view of citizens' rights to impose what is in practice a screening via artificial intelligence of all communication, all types of communication. So I'd like to know what will be the work of the Hungarian presidency. It's a very difficult work. It's been a very divisive topic. I know this is a very specific question. If you don't know about any specific details, no problem. I just want to know if you have any specific framework to discuss this issue, because it's been a very difficult topic in view of the conflict of rights. Thank you very much for having rephrased your question. Ambassador, you have the floor. Obrigada. Compreendo, muito obrigada por ter repetido. É verdade que a proteção das crianças é muito importante para a nossa presidência e para a Hungria. Fizemos muitas alterações relativamente à proteção de crianças e pensamos que no século XXI, Na era da internet, está a ameaçar as crianças e é muito difícil criar um controle, porque logo que aplicamos um controle, há sempre um outro obstáculo que enfrentamos, uma nova barreira. É muito difícil decidir onde está o limite para a criação destes mecanismos de controle. Como sabem, a Hungria centra-se sempre na família e na política para a família e crianças. Para nós é muito importante. Protegemos muito as nossas famílias, não simplesmente relativamente à componente social, mas também em apoio económico. Adotámos algumas leis para a proteção com os nossos congêneres europeus, para partilhar boas práticas. Tencionamos organizar conferências, workshops para a partilha de boas práticas. Eu não sou uma perita nesta área, portanto, eu não lhe posso dar perguntas. Irei enviar rapidamente, porque vamos pedir ao Ministério em casa e vamos enviar um e-mail com estas informações.
On to the second round of questions. And I've only got, up to now, I've only got one person, one request for the floor, and that is Ana Mendes Cozinho. And I have Liliana Reis from the. This, so you've only got 1.5 minutes. And then the ambassador will have the questions first, and then the ambassador will use up the same amount of time that each speaker had. Thank you very much, President, Chair, and I would like to greet the ambassador, and I wish you an excellent presidency. For Hungary, as I only have 1.5 minutes, I'm going to have to be very quick. So in the program that Hungary presents for the exercise of the presidency in the second half of the year, has placed the summit between the European Union and the Western Balkans as one of the main priorities. Now, what I would like to know is that, firstly, because through the Spanish presidency at the end of last year, this summit, the European Union and Balkans summit, and using this initiative by Spain, and it promotes the enlargement of the six states, Albania, Kosovo, Herzegovina, Kosovo, area. And so we have the Albania there, we have the Albanian delegation here, so this is probably one of the questions that worries them Albania most. So this Hungarian presidency is going to promote the enlargement, or is it going to be an interlocutor of Serbia in the Western Balkans? So we have we've seen there's instability in the Western Balkans, which is what something that we do not really need. And I think that in this phase, it was very important for us to keep stability of the Western Balkans, that is the cohesion of these six countries, and not the promotion of one of them only. And on the other hand, and to just to conclude, I'm sorry, Chair, that there's a question. The enlargement is not possible to be accompanied without institutional deepening. And so Hungary has been a defender of the intergovernmentalism and the role of the Council and the strengthening of the roles of the Council in different matters and in external policy, for example, throughout recent years. And so with the needs that we have to enlarge, we're going to have the needs to deepen our institutions. And so how do you see that is for the transference to the pre-accession mechanism, so the reinforcing of the Balkans? And secondly, I think it's very opportune to reinforce the European Union mechanism. Thank you. Thank you very much. So thank you very much. First of all, repeating many of the interventions that were made before in terms of the expectation of the Hungarian presidency to be Hungary to have played the role of honest broker and dialogue builder as it vis-à-vis the election of Antonio Costa for the president of the European Council, where you played a very active role, and I think Portugal should thank you for this. Secondly, in this role of honest broker, I think it's very important topics which divides the European Union should not be topics that should be used during the presidency. And here I am talking about Portugal, and so this is the position of the Socialist Party. Portugal will be radically against any type of measure that questions or that includes discrimination, negative discrimination in relation to the LGBTQI community. And I think this is something that should be repeated. And the last note, this information, which I think is very useful in this discussion of migrations and numbers. In Portugal 2023, the numbers of immigrants contributed to the social security system, 2,670 million euros in Portugal, and expenses there were 482,000 euros, which means that a positive balance is 2,080 million euros for the coffers of the Social Security. They contribute six times more than received. A very important topic, and this is happening not in Europe, not only Portugal, other countries in the European Union, in Hungary included, and so they have a positive, the political immigrants have a positive role in the construction of Europe, without which there would be a collapse of Europe in terms of its economic growth. A little piece of information that can be used in our reflection. Thank you very much.
Obrigada. Relativamente aos Balcãs Ocidentais, gostaria de confirmentar que a União Europeia tem interesse na estabilidade dos Balcãs Ocidentais, portanto a nossa presidência vai apoiar o aprofundamento de um projeto de Cimeira, União Europeia, Balcãs Ocidentais e organizar uma conferência intergovernamental. E a presidência húngara também vê que em outubro, 29 de outubro, vamos ter um fórum ministerial. Garantir que a União Europeia se continue sendo política económica para esta região, evitando que os países estrangeiros possam ganhar neste terreno e aumentar a sua influência. O nosso interesse é
Please follow up.
Dar uma atenção muito especial a facilitar as interconexões com os sistemas energéticos da região e promover a transição energética e a cooperação, e também explorando o potencial de energia verde. Acreditamos que o sistema de segurança da Europa era que a Europa tem que garantir o seu próprio sistema de defesa e centrar-se mais na cooperação na área de defesa com os Estados-membros. Temos que proteger as nossas fronteiras, temos de ser capazes de promover a nossa economia, estimular a economia, utilizar a defesa através dos quais podemos contribuir para o nosso futuro. E também a defesa não significa simplesmente fabrico, pensa a tecnologia de defesa, tudo isto está relacionado com a economia. A defesa vai criar mais oportunidades económicas para os todos os membros, e estamos de facto a viver num mundo com enormes desafios, e estamos numa altura em que temos que pensar o modo como podemos os nossos países, as nossas fronteiras, e penso que a presidência se irá centrar na organização de diferentes cimeiras na área da defesa e também partilhar boas práticas com países parceiros. Muito obrigada. The priorities, this commission will naturally follow. The Hungarian presidency will have plenty of opportunities during these 6 months to work together. On my side, and I will be in Budapest, in Kozak, by the end of the month, and it will certainly be a discuss European matters. So lastly, I'd just like to thank your patience and your willingness to have used Portuguese language during this year. And we certainly will be in constant contact. Let me just make a very brief break to take the ambassador to when leaving this room, and then we're going to complete our agenda.